Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wassalamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa, khususan ala sayyidir rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. In the Quran we find many prophets are mentioned by name frequently. Over 130 times Musa alayhi salam is mentioned by name. Close to 80 times Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned by name. However, when it comes to the beautiful name Muhammad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is only mentioned in the Quran 4 times. With that said, someone may assume that the Quran doesn't give attention to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This would be a grave mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such that throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but either the discussion and conversation is direct or through a beautiful name and attribute. Even the few times that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is mentioned in the Quran, it isn't in khitab. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "Oh Muhammad, do this." It's in mention that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers, while referring to them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, he uses beautiful attributes. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir. And like this, throughout the Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. The Quran, in reality, is the story of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you study the Quran carefully, you don't just see a part of the story, you see the full story. And today we're going to take a look at such an incident from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah lived in Makkah Mukarramah for 13 years. And during these 13 years, he called the people to Makkah Mukarramah. They were very clear in their rejection and also in how aggressive and abusive they would be to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how hostile they could be. They did not hold back at all. Anything they could throw at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they threw it full swing. Had it not been for the forbearance, sabr, patience, the amazing character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any normal person would have struck out in the first few minutes. But it was a sabr of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was akhlaq and character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Prophet of Allah remained by their side for a full 13 years. And even at the end of those 13 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have continued. However, the message of Islam had to reach the corners of the world. And therefore, it was time for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to part with his beloved and dear city, Mecca. The command of Allah had come. When you spend majority of your life in a place, you become connected to it. Even if the people might be vile, it's the city that has your memories. You think of your childhood, you think of your playground, you think of all the beautiful memories you had and all the amazing people who lived by your side. For an orphan like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the few memories he had with his mother were in Makkah Mukarramah. The few memories he had with his grandfather were in Makkah Mukarramah. His most fond memories of his children being born and with his beloved and dear wife Khadija radiallahu anha were all in Makkah Mukarramah. And above all, the Kaaba was in Makkah Mukarramah. The Kaaba played such a central role in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that even when he left Makkah for his moment of i'tikaf, for his moment of solitude to Ghar Hira, he went there because he had direct line of sight with the Kaaba from there. He can sit in that cave and see the Kaaba. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is even going on Mi'raj, the angels first take him to the Kaaba and then they take him up, because they understand the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the Kaaba. When he arrives in Medina Munawwara while he's praying, قَدْ نَرَى تُقَلِّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. He keeps looking to the heavens again and again. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. We will change the qibla, Allah says, from Al-Aqsa to the Kaaba because of your love for it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed the rest of his life, every sajda in the direction of the Kaaba. Such was his love for it. And that's why Muslims need to understand the central role the Kaaba plays in our personal spiritual development. We are in the middle of a pandemic and we are barred from going to the Kaaba. It tears our hearts apart. Whose heart isn't in pain? But the first opportunity we get, just as we rushed back to our masajid, we should make niyyah to go back to that very same Kaaba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under very difficult circumstances, had to leave Makkah Mukarramah and migrate secretly. He spent some nights in a cave. And then when he departed from there, he went to a place called Juhfa. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was departing from there, he turned back to Makkah Mukarramah one last time. And he said, "O Makkah, you know how much I love you. Had your people not kicked me out of this city, I would have never left it." And with tears in his eyes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again parted ways with the most beloved to him, his Kaaba. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is migrating, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel alayhi salam with a verse of the Quran to console Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this part of the story is told in Surah Al-Qasas. Right at the end, verse number 85, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. That indeed the Allah that obligated, that revealed this Quran upon you, He promises to return you to your origin. You will come back. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves with a heavy heart. He arrives in Medina Munawwara. A long story there. Finally, in the sixth year after migration, 6 years have passed. One night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a dream that he's in Makkah Mukarramah again and he's performing tawaf. The companions, they longed for Makkah Mukarramah. They always wanted to go back. They would always sit in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and talk about it. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, every Saturday after Fajr Salah, the Prophet of Allah would take his companions, go to Quba, which was outside of Medina Munawwara on the road. That's where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually stopped when he entered into Medina Munawwara. So they would go to Quba, pray 2 rak'ah there, and the Prophet of Allah said to them, you now have the reward of Umrah. We can't go all the way, but this is the minimum we can do. So let's do this much, and let's take this reward. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the companions, we've been granted permission to do Umrah. Who's ready? Hundreds of companions gather together and they march with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They come right outside Makkah. The Quraysh place a blockade. We won't let you enter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departure and then the rejection, the blockade. The companions waited and waited, tried to solve the issue. Until finally, an agreement was made. You won't be allowed to come this year. You can come the next year. You're going to have to go back from here. Even though they were a stone's throw away from the Haram. Literally, a stone's throw away from the Haram. But they weren't allowed inside. Haram refers to the boundary around the Kaaba, which is a sanctuary. If you were to calculate in today's times, from Hudaybiyah to where the Kaaba is, no more than a 15-minute drive. They were so close. And they were told, you have to go back. A treaty was signed with the Quraysh. No battle for 10 years. The Quraysh took their people who wanted to join them on their side. The Muslims, some Banu Khuza'a joined them. That was another tribe that said, we will be with you in this treaty. There were other clauses put together. The treaty was signed. The Muslims went back. They were allowed to return the next year. But before we go there, as the Muslims are leaving with a very heavy heart, because you have to understand, these 1,600 people who were rejected from doing tawaf were courageous warriors. They had stood against the greatest odds of the time. They had fought against the greatest powers of that region. And they were victorious. And even when they lost, they remained patient. They knew how to win with honor, and they knew how to lose with honor too. Because with them was Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ was a source of strength for them in all moments of their life. But now when they're told they can't perform their umrah and they must leave, that pain of rejection really tore them apart. They were in pain. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but imagine you've prepared for your hajj, you've paid your ticket and you're all ready to go, and when you get to the airport, you forgot your passport back home, which is in another state. Your heart would be broken. And I know this because it happened to one of my relatives. And he called me from the airport. And he was in tears. He cried and said, I was almost there. I was on the last flight to Mecca. And I forgot my passport at home. The Sahaba were broken. There wasn't one of them that wasn't in tears. And some of them were saying, Ya Rasulullah, if we're on the truth, why don't we just go ahead and fight these people? We'll wipe them out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, patience. And as they're returning back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now reveals the second part of the story that we're going to cover today. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have granted you clear victory. What looked like a loss, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is phrasing it as a victory. And why was this a victory, even though they weren't allowed to do umrah? For many reasons. This was the first time the Muslims and the Meccans went into a 10-year treaty, which meant that the Muslims would no longer have to worry about any fear from the Meccans, and now they can focus on inviting the whole world to Islam. That's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ actually did. He used this moment of the treaty and invited everyone to Islam. And there are many other reasons as well why this is a clear victory. Unfortunately, the Quraysh and their allies broke the treaty. Banu Bakr attacked Banu Khuza'a. The treaty was broken. The Muslims, under the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the 8th year after migration, in the month of Ramadan, with 10,000 soldiers, they marched from Medina, headed towards Mecca. They arrived outside Mecca, set camp, and early in the morning, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the companions, try not to fight. Don't kill anyone. We're not going there to cause a mass slaughter. We want to conquer Mecca. We will do it in the most peaceful way. Mecca Mukarramah is surrounded by mountains, so the Meccans had no idea what was happening on the other side of the mountains. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided the army strategically. So when they would enter into Mecca, everyone would enter at once. The Meccans would be overwhelmed. The next morning, the morning of the conquest, as they entered into Mecca Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding the reins of his camel, with his head lowered down in humbleness, as he recited the ayat, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. The last part of today's story. And when the assistance of Allah came, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, and the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and when you saw the people enter into Islam, wave after wave, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his hand against his rein, lowered down in humbleness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not one to be arrogant. He didn't boast over his victories. He didn't shout and scream when he was victorious. He didn't flaunt it in the face of the others. Because he knew this victory came from Allah. And he began to say, La ilaha illallah. Wahda, sadaqa wa'da, wa nasara abda, wa hazama la hazaba wahda. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this moment. And when we compile the whole story together, what we see is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning in a heartbroken state. In the middle, absolutely shattered. But he remained firm and committed. And then the Quran tells us right at the end what happened. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted victory. And as he entered into Makkah Mukarramah, to let people know what kind of person he was, he said, اِذْهَبُوا أَنْتُمُ الطَّلَقَى. Everyone is free. I won't hold anyone accountable. This is a story of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's separation from Makkah Mukarramah and the Kaaba, and his reuniting with it, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this story through the Quran. A beautiful lesson for us all in our moments of separation. When we are crushed, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you victory as long as you stay true and loyal to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His strength and guidance as well. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.